Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 23. This is the reading of God's word. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, not figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we pray that you will bless this time, this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that they will be with the speaker, that he will preach correctly, and you will be with all of us so that we may have the right understanding. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow, and with that faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and the reality of our kingdom. Oh Father, bless us, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is that time correct? Wow. Verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The false prophets and the false teachers were numerous in numbers and very active in the nation of Israel during the Old Testament times and in the churches at the time of the writing of the New Testament. And they are very active today. Jesus himself has already warned us of these false prophets and false teachers coming into the churches. Mark chapter 13, verse 22 through 23 says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance." Even the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he said, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." The false prophets, Jesus says, will arise. Savage wolves will come in. Not maybe, but they will. Now, according to our verse, these false prophets come in sheep's clothing. Now sheep, the word sheep, is referring to God's people. Thus from the outside, outwardly, at least initially, It is very hard to tell whether these people are wolves or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15 says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Then how can we tell? Well, Jesus teaches us. Verse 16 through 20. "You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit." Easy enough. "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You will know them by their fruits." The question is this: now what does the phrase "good fruit" referring to here, or the bad fruit? Good fruit. One obvious answer will be their ethical behavior. Thus, bad fruit refers to their immoral behavior. Now, that is obvious enough to conclude. So someone says, "I'm a Christian, and we're going to deal with this subject next time." Our last sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, and after that we're going to go to Book of Revelation. But if person says he's a Christian and he's even from outside, we could see very clear how immoral he is, then obviously we could conclude this. But here, even though that is definitely included, but that is not the center of the meaning of the word fruit here in this context. I want you to remember this, that first, the false teachers or the false prophets, who are they? When you hear the word false prophets or false teachers, what do they do? Well, they teach, they preach. That's why they're called false prophets and false teachers. Luke chapter 6. Let's go there together. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Our Lord Jesus Christ says the same thing here in verse 43. "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit." But look at what he says next. "For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from the briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." He Here, the fruit is in terms of what comes out of their mouth, not just their immoral behavior as a bad fruit, but what they say. And do you remember what Paul said in Acts chapter 20? Savage wolves will come in. Well, let us go there, Acts chapter 20, and find out what Paul says about what those savage wolves will do when they come. Acts chapter 20. Because our Lord says these false prophets are wolves, and here Paul also calls these people wolves, but let's see what he says, what they're going to do. Chapter 20, verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away all disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Again, these wolves, what are they going to do when they come in? They will speak perverse things. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. Again, he starts out by saying the same thing. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Here too, Jesus starts out with good tree, good fruit, you know, bad tree, bad fruit. Then again, those fruits are in terms of what they say. In the case of the false teachers and the false prophets then, in our context, those fruits, they are all about what they teach and what they speak, what they preach. And it was the same in the Old Testament. Go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord, thus says the Lord God. Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. Here, God calls them foxes. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build a wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle. On the day of the Lord, they see falsehood and lying divination, who are saying the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? The false prophets, they pretend to preach and teach God's word. Thus, the fruits in our passage is not just about their outward behavior, but also what they teach and what they preach. If the fruit is all about outward behavior, then it will be very difficult for us to know the false prophets by their fruit. Because many times non-Christians are, in terms of outward behavior, they're much better than Christians. If you just want to talk about worldly morals, many true Christians are worse than them. So obviously, it's much more than that. And let us go back to our passage. Verse 21, if you go down to verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you see the connection? After Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits, then Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In today's language, did we not teach and preach in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Do you see it? Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Notice here that prophesying in his name, teaching and preaching in Jesus' name, and casting out demons in his name, and performing many miracles in his name, they are not the fruits that are the indication of the person being the true teacher or true prophet. Because these people actually did these things. And yet, Jesus says to them, I never knew you. So don't be fooled by these things. According to Matthew chapter 10, even Judas, who sold Jesus Christ, who we know for sure went to hell, he too performed many miracles, casting out unclean spirits to heal every kind of diseases and every kind of sickness. And if you go down to, if we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, why don't we go there? And this is, we read this passage many times in connection with our Lord's Day Bible study, the Harmageddon Bible study. This is about Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read from verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So it is talking about Antichrist and what? When you go down to verse 9, his coming, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. So his coming is according to the work of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So when He appears, even people who go to church, many people will be deceived. But again, even this Antichrist will perform great things. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and give you a sign or a wonder. Again, notice that this false prophet, he gives a sign or a wonder. He performs some kind of false miracles. And the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serving him and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. There, in verse 2, the sign or the wonder comes true. Even if the sign and wonder comes true, you are not to follow him, because he speaks false. He doesn't speak the word of God. And why does God allow the false prophets to come into the midst of God's people? That Deuteronomy chapter 13 verse 3 says what? The Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It's testing you whether you will follow the word. Now it is very clear that the fruits that our Lord talks about in our passage not only include their ethical or immoral behavior, but also what they teach and what they preach. But true Christians, they know the truth. Matthew 24, verse 24 and 25, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If possible, which means it is not possible. True Christians will not follow that kind of falsehood. John chapter 10. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not listen, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. My sheep hears me, hears my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Don't you have that experience? Sometimes when I listen to a certain sermon from radio or tapes, I say to myself, that's not my Father's voice. He doesn't say those things. Because I check with the Bible. He doesn't say those things. That is not my Father's voice. My sheep hears my voice, he says. John, even the true Christians may for a short time follow the false teaching, but ultimately they cannot be perfectly deceived. But the false one will follow the false teaching all the way to hell. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jeremiah chapter 5. Let me just read it to you. Chapter 5, verse 30. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land, God says. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? False prophet teaches false things, and covenant people, they love it. The church members, they love it. The false teachers and the false prophets, they are already in the church. We're not talking about people who are outside of church. When we call them false teachers and false prophets, that means they're already in the church. These are not the ones who are outside of the church. The Corinthian church had this kind of problem, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, but you bear this beautifully, or ESV version, you put up with it readily enough. Because it's all about tolerance, isn't it, today? You have to be loving and tolerant. Of course you have to be loving and tolerant. But when it comes to the Word of God, there's no tolerance. It's either what the Word says, and if it's not what the Word says, we do not tolerate. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And you know that we are already living in the last days, so difficult time has already come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. And if bad fruit is about, in our context, false teaching, then what will be the content of false teaching? Well, the exactly opposite of what we've been reading in the Sermon on the Mount. The exact opposite of the gospel of the kingdom that our Jesus Christ was proclaiming. Wide gate and wide way. Do you remember last sermon? Enter into the narrow gate and narrow way. And I asked you last Lord's Day, in presenting the gospel, should we present the gospel as if it is a wide gate and wide way? The false teaching. And I hope you go home and read this Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at it for a whole year now. Read it. Reread it. Then you will know what is the content of the false teaching. The life that stores up treasures in this world rather than heaven. The life that does not seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness first, but self-seeking, lovers of selves. The false gospel of this world. And I'm not going to go into all that because you already know the content of the Sermon on the Mount. But it was all about there are these two worlds and two kings and two ways of life. The true gospel will teach one way, and the false gospel will teach the other way. Because there is no third way. Verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. This reminds of John chapter 6, doesn't it? After Jesus performed the miracle of feeding 5,000 people. What happened then? As soon as they saw this and ate, they wanted Jesus to be their king. Now, why? What is wrong with people wanting Jesus to be their king? What is wrong with that? Isn't that what our religion is all about? Isn't that what we teach you, that you have Jesus as your king? So these people wanted Jesus to be his king, but Jesus runs away. Why? What is wrong with that? So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. He flees. Even though people want him. Even though he wants, the people want him to be their king. You already know that. Because they wanted Jesus to be their king for the worldly reasons. Jesus said, you seek me because your stomach is filled now. Lord, Lord. We saw this too, right? When we looked at the narrow way, so many people come to Jesus and I will follow you. I will follow you all anywhere you go, I will follow you. Really? Really? I'm telling you, life of Christian is not easy life. Only few will do it. And I'm not God. I cannot make you to do that. Only God is able to do that. Do you remember how we began this Sermon on the Mount? It's not, God is not saying to you, try your best to be like this. Do you remember that? God is saying to you that this is how you are. This is what a Christian is, how Christians are. We're going to look at verses 21 through 23 again next week, so let's move on. Let me conclude. We are called to beware of the false prophets. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I, we have our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are led by him, not by false prophets, but by Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you hear these? You are the true sheep, and you will never follow strangers. You will follow Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And verse 27, we read this before. That my sheep hears my voice, and I know him, I know them, and they follow me. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. You follow him. You hear his voice. You know his word. And you and I are good trees. No, God is not saying, asking or commanding you to try hard so that you could be a good tree. No, you cannot be a good tree on your own strength, on your effort. Either you are a good tree or you're not. And if you believe that you are a good tree, then you will bear good fruit. You and I are good trees because we are united to the true good tree, which is Jesus Christ. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. God has made you and me, God has made us good trees in Jesus Christ, and you and I, we are united to Jesus Christ. He is the good tree. His word is in us, and we are in him, and all of us who are in Jesus Christ, we bear good fruits. And if we read after the 8th verse of John 15, that fruit that God enjoys is summarized in word love. As soon as he talks about how he's the vine and we are the branches and we bear good fruit because we are united to him, and he talks about how we shall love one another. Yes, in Jesus Christ we love and we fulfill the law of God. Yes, we bear in Jesus Christ good fruits that God enjoys now and forever. You are not a bad tree. And you do not bear bad fruits. Understand who you are. Please understand. This is not about you are now bearing bad fruits, so that I'm here to commend you and encourage you to change into good trees so that you will bear good fruit. That is not the message. Message is that you are a good tree. Now you need to witness that reality. You cannot act like you are not a good tree. God is telling you who you are, what kind of person that he has made you to be already. Let's continue this next time. We'll finish that section. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. For you are our shepherd, good shepherd. You laid down your life for us. And you have made us your sheep who hear your voice, who will not follow strangers. And you have already warned us that many false prophets will come into the church. You have told us to beware. Let us be alert. Let us be always awake. And let us always, as we hear your voice, follow you. Let us deny ourselves. And let us take up our crosses and follow our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself has entered the narrow gate, who himself has walked on that narrow way. We thank you that you are with us as we have already entered the narrow gate. And we thank you for your presence with us even as we're walking on that narrow way. Oh Father, we long for that day. By end of that way, narrow way, we'll meet our Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be able to see him face to face. And then, and even now, we know all the sufferings and persecutions, all the difficult times are all worth it. We're ready to lose everything to gain you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Let us stand.